Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Every Tuesday afternoon, we try to find little ways to help you live well, live better in every different aspect of your life. Today, I'm chatting to the CEO of Fairstone and Ask Paul. Paul Merriman is with me in studio because I imagine that managing your finances will probably help most of us to live well, Paul.
Yes, it should do. Hopefully, it can reduce stress for people.
Yeah,
some people do find it quite stressful.
Because money brings a lot of stress.
Yes, it can do, but it's not what it's supposed to do. I mean, people pay a lot of income tax. They work very, very hard to get their money into their bank account. So it's really important, Andrew, that people, you know, learn how to manage their money and make sure that it brings them joy and it gives them good times rather than stress. So that's what it should be about. So I think that's what we hopefully focus on today.
Are we financially, well financially educated here?
No, not at all.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. Now, there is a theory behind this. I remember speaking to a financial well-being specialist from the US. And in the US, a lot of people, by the time they leave school or college or the secondary school system or the college situation over there, they would usually be way more astute. But in the US, they don't have a lot to fall back on. So they don't have the state pension. They don't have good health care. So in the US, they're always taught from a young age to make sure you look after yourself. No one else is going to look after you. But I think in Ireland, we've always had a lot of comfort around our social welfare benefits, the state pension. Our healthcare facilities are quite good. So I think it comes from that. But if you look at the likes of Australia, look at Canada and into the UK in particular now as well, there is a lot more financial education being given to people before they leave college.
Yeah, well, I would have assumed a lot of that. And I know from obviously growing up around Donegal and friends going to college in the north over the years and in the UK, a lot of that, though, was to do with the fact that they had the student fees. And
yes.
you were, they were so much more advanced financially than I was at 18. But they were burdened with these huge debts to go to college.
Actually, exact same point in the US. I mean, the US is even worse compared to the UK. So again, in Ireland, we don't have to have that student debt situation or as big a student debt problem as you would in the UK or the US. So yeah, maybe that's another reason why they're so good at money or are so astute when it comes to their finances. But we're definitely lagging behind. And actually, it's a thing across the EU. So it's not just in Ireland. If you look at investing, not a lot of the EU citizens will invest. We're big savers, especially in Ireland, the 160 billion sitting on overnight deposits, getting practically 0% interest. And that's right the way across the EU. So the EU are aware of this and they're bringing in, a lot more education and they're trying to get a tax harmonisation across the EU, including Ireland. You would have seen the budget last week.
Yeah.
Our tax on our investments came 41% down 38%. So there is a little bit of movement in the right direction, but there is going to be a massive push across the EU to get citizens investing so they become a wealthier part of society.
So invest rather than save.
So invest rather than save. That's going to be massive over the next 5 years.
Is that a legacy? Is that a hangover from the downturn?
Maybe a little bit from the downturn, but I think Irish people, again, I think it comes down to lack of education. And particularly in the downturn, most people got burned by property, not by the stock market in Ireland. So, I don't think it's the reason we don't invest necessarily. I think, it comes down to misinformation, fear, not really understanding the likes of inflation and the impact it has on our money.
Okay, so we're into now the start of October.
Yes.
I know January is always that point, isn't it, where we think about starting afresh.
Yeah.
But if you do want to try for the last quarter of the year to get your finances or your financial affairs in order, where is the first or what's the easiest thing to start off?
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be that complicated. So the first thing you can do is literally find out where you are today. So this is like, take it like going to the gym, trying to lose a bit of weight, trying to put on muscle, whatever your goals are in the gym. Take it into your personal finances. So you do step on the weighing scales, you do take a few body measurements if you're in the gym, do the same with your money. So make sure you know where all your money is, all your current accounts, all your savings, if you have any, and the same with your personal debt. So whether it's a car loan, a personal loan, a PCP contract, or your mortgage, find out what you owe and who you owe it to, what your interest rates are. So it's just getting a snapshot of where you are today. And the next thing is the most important part of a financial plan is to put some goals in place. Andrea. So try and find out what your short, medium and long term goals are. And then a kind of big tip for listeners is think about these as tangible and non-tangible things. So people probably think of the car, the house, a wedding, when it comes to kind of what you want to do in the short, medium term. The house is probably the big thing on everyone's on everyone's list today. But also try and think of things that will improve your lifestyle. So, and especially because we're talking about well-being. So is it being able to go into a job share situation? Is it being able to retire early? What makes your kind of life a little bit easier? And try and see what you can do with your finances to get you there quicker as well. So don't automatically think of the car or, like I said, the big spends, the holidays, the weddings, etc. Try and think about what will give your lifestyle a little bit of an improvement. And a big one for me now with financial planning conversations is people coming in looking to take more time off to spend with their kids, trying to get, you know, extend their maternity leave,
etc. So if I want to go to
a
4-day week in 10, you know, in 10 years time,
exactly,
how much now do I need to be saving to get there?
Yeah,
right.
Or how do I get my mortgage cleared quicker, maybe, if you have a mortgage outstanding, or if you're getting on the property ladder, how long should you take your mortgage off, or should you overpay it? If you have a pension plan from a previous employer, you can usually access them from 50 years of age. So it's all those little bits.
Funny you say that, right? Obviously the Lunchtime Live listeners very keen and interested in pensions, because there's loads of pension questions coming in. Our company are starting a pension. They're contributing 3%, says this texter. I already have a private pension. I'll definitely join the one with my employer. Should I merge them both or keep the first one and just stop contributing to it? There isn't much in it. It's been going for about 2 years.
Really good question. I wouldn't merge it. It's the same if you have a previous company pension plan, if you work for somebody in a previous job and you had a pension plan there. So first of all, let's tackle this as the new scheme. The new scheme's coming in probably because of auto enrollment starting in January. So the new scheme, if they're putting in 3%, you'll most likely have to put your own 3% in. That's a really good thing to do. I would definitely join the scheme, because if you don't put your 3% in, you're not going to get the 3% free from the employer. So 100% contribute there. However, with your private pension, let's say in your private pension, you are paying in, say, 8% of your salary into a private pension for yourself. I would only put the 3% into the company pension, and I would keep the other 5% still going with it, to call it a AVC, which is an additional voluntary contribution. The reason for that is that the new company pension plan might be quite limited in relation to the funds you have access to. So most company pension plans will be set up. They might have between 5 to 10 funds, different type of risk profiles. But you might want something different in the marketplace. You might want a better fund. You might want a fund that has more stocks and shares, or less stocks and shares, depending on your risk appetite. So I'd always say look outside of the scheme once you fulfill, in this case, 3% and 3%. But obviously, if you have the private pension and you're only paying 3% into it, I'd stop it and put 3% into the company pension.
How much should you be putting into a pension? This is the bit
I can't answer it. There's loads of voices out there that will tell you it should be X percent of your salary, or you should have, you know, 5 times or 8 times your income by the time you get to retirement age. But everyone's different. So it depends on what your life, it depends on what your expectation of a decent level and standard is when you get to retirement age. I would usually say to clients that the most optimal way to start this is by looking at having a fund of somewhere, or optimal from a tax point of view, somewhere between 300 and 350,000 a pension fund by the time you get to 66. Because that, coupled with the state pension, will give you a good standard of living. And you're also taking advantage of the tax situation. You get a 25% lump sum out of that pot, and the remaining, when it's drawn down with a state pension, gives you a decent standard. But that's really what you're looking at. But again, if you had 100, 150,000 in the fund, it's better than having nothing in the fund. So I hate giving people percentages or figures, because everyone's different. It depends on what tax you're going to be paying. It depends on what health. It depends whether you have a mortgage. It depends on whether you have a spouse or whether you're single. There's so many things to factor. Everyone's different. So I'm not really mad about giving people a percentage or figures, because, like I said, everyone's different. You don't want to put people off.
This listener says, I'm 50, I've recently just paid off my mortgage, I've no debt, married with a 7-year-old. Should I put a lot of my savings into a savings account, put it in my company pension that I only started 3 years ago, or should I focus on the auto enrollment scheme next year, spread it across all, or are there other options?
So first of all, if you're in a company pension plan, you will not be in auto enrollment. So auto enrollment is only being rolled out to those that are not in a company pension plan. So that's really important. So auto enrollment isn't an option for that listener. And if anyone has a company pension plan, they don't need to worry about auto enrollment. Again, you probably need a financial planning consultation to give the best advice here. But, you know, the mortgage repayment should definitely, it's great that they're so young and having the mortgage cleared. So trying to get the best out of it, you're looking at that short, medium and long term. The best way and the most tax efficient way is to contribute to the pension. But with a 7-year-old, I'm not sure what the plans are for the 7-year-old for second level education or third level education. So I'm probably going to say a little bit between saving a bit and emergency fund in place, then looking at a bit of investing and a little bit of a pension, because they're going to get so much tax relief on the pension. But again, if the company has a really good pension plan and you're already contributing to your max levels, you might need to put more in. So again, not trying to get out of the question, but it's a case by case basis. But I would think a financial planning consultation would look at where you are today and what your actual goals are for your 50s, 60s, 70s. One thing I would be saying, they only have one child at seven. They're probably going to have to really think about succession planning and inheritance tax, because that child will only have a 400,000 threshold where they get the money from the estate without paying the capital acquisition tax. So one thing with somebody that only has one child, especially if they have a family home that's already cleared off, more than likely that family home, if it's only going to one child, be well above that 400,000 euro limit. So you want to be thinking about that piece of that plan as well.
Yeah. Just a final point on this. A listener asking the question today, they're thinking of buying a holiday home or a second home. Mm-hmm. It's going to leave them, though. It's going to clear out the savings if they do this.
Mm-hmm.
Two kids at home. Is it a good idea or no?
I wouldn't say it's a good idea if it's going to clear out the savings, to be honest with you. If they really wanted a holiday home, I would say keep a little bit of your savings. And if you really wanted to do it now and you're mortgage free and your principal private residence, you could always borrow a little bit of money towards the second family or towards that family holiday home. Again, it's very difficult to say the people to borrow over the years. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be wiping out all my savings, especially if I still had two children at home, to have a holiday home. And holiday homes are something that most clients will try and target for when they get towards retirement age. But when kids are young and they get the enjoyment out of family home and you get to create family memories, that's kind of back down to that we spoke about with well-being and lifestyle. Mm. I mean, if it's going to really enhance your kids' lifestyle and give them amazing memories, and it's maybe towards the sea or it's down the country somewhere where you have a little bit of access to better air and better time and less stress, you might get value out of it. So I wouldn't wipe the savings out. I would definitely say keep a little bit of savings from an emergency fund and maybe borrow a little bit of money, like another mortgage, to get the family holiday home, but only if your family home is mortgage free. There's no point in having two mortgages.
Paul, I could chat to you all day. Yeah. Try and sort out our financial affairs. Paul Merriman, we'll have to get you back again for particularly actually around pension questions. A lot of listeners wondering about that. Email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone and Ask Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.